Welcome, everyone, to Run Out Radio. This is our premier broadcast, and we've got a good one for you. Hi, I'm Jerry Forsyth. Mike Howerton is with me, and today we're going to visit with both Johnny Archer and Allison Fisher.
This is going to be a lot of fun. You and I have been talking about doing this for a long time, and I'm glad we're finally making it happen. Right off the bat, we're brought to you this week by Stroke It Sportswear. Stroke It produces a great line of billiards-related apparel and is a proud sponsor of Tony Crosby. Check them out online at www.strokeitwear.com.
They sponsor Tony Crosby. Hey, I tell you what, he's a great fan favorite. Since he came over to America, he's made an awful lot of friends. You know, I think I've got this story right, but I'm senile, so it could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it was Tony that said he came to America because he liked American girls better. Not really a slam, though, on the British girls. He says they're okay once you wash them.
Be nice now, Jerry.
Yeah, okay.
First thing this week, big win from Oliver Ortman, the World 14-1 Championship. Strangely enough, Oliver won a big title, beat Mizorak how many years ago, Jerry?
That was in the 80s.
Yeah.
82, 83, something like that.
Ortman won that title, and then they had the big 14-1 in New York 6 or 7 years ago, and Suquet won it. And then Torsten won it last year, and Oliver this year. Must be something in the water in Germany and straight pool players.
Well, you know, that's the names that we heard before the event ever began. Really not Oliver so much as Torsten and Ralph. And then you heard a lot about our own John Schmidt's chances as well, and Danny Harriman. So you can't be surprised that Oliver Ortman won a straight pool championship with all his experience.
No, absolutely not. You know, there was an interesting conversation on the AZ Billiards forums after he won the title, and someone put forth the idea that possibly this title is what he may have needed to put him over the edge into the Hall of Fame. What do you think about that one?
I think they have a good point. He certainly has a record that should be put before the voting committee. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there with great records who are not in yet, but Oliver's got to be up there near the top.
I mean, it doesn't put him ahead of someone like Ralph Suquet. I mean, I think Ralph has won so many different titles, he would have to go in before Ortman, but this could very well be what he needs.
Well, it could be. Of course, a lot of that Hall of Fame stuff is timing. There are a lot of names that are getting ready to age into that area where they can be considered for the Hall of Fame, people like Johnny Archer. So it all depends on the field that's out there, but I like Oliver's chances in the future.
Yeah, I missed the media meeting that was at the BCA trade show, but I understand both Johnny and Allison are supposed to be up for induction. Is it next year?
I don't know. I wasn't at that meeting either. Neither one of us made that one.
Well, Oliver wasn't the only one winning big titles. Over in Asia, Guinness Nine-Ball Tour stop, Ching Shun Yang wins another one. This is his second win this season. If you take two wins on the Guinness Nine-Ball Tour and a big win over Denis Orcolo in that three-day Race to 60 challenge match, Yang's really starting to make some noise over there. Jerry, you've seen Yang play out on the international circuit. I know you've done commentary at the World Championships and some of the other matchroom events. Just how good a player is this guy?
Oh, he's fantastic. A lot of people call him a robot because he's just so automatic. He makes ball after ball after ball. He marches through the early stages, the early parts of a tournament, like he can't be beaten, but as he nears the finish line, he sometimes falters. Now, with his performance the last few months, he may have gotten over that faltering, and he may really, really come out shooting hard for quite a few years now. He's on the favorite player list of anyone who knows international pool. He's just a really great player.
I spoke to Tommy Martin a while back. You're familiar with Tommy. He does a lot of media over in Asia. And yeah. I asked him about Yang, and I said, you know, what would it take for Yang to come over to the States? And Tommy's response was, until the prize funds over here go up a great deal, Yang wouldn't even think about coming to the States. Are we really that far behind Asia as far as tournaments go?
Well, yeah, and not just tournaments. They have more tournaments, of course, and the prize money is better because they have television and they have a tremendous fan base. It's just so much more popular a game in the Orient than it is over here. But there's also a lot of side action, and it's not $500. You know, it's big money, and you can make a lot more money in the pool rooms in the Orient than you can here in the States.
That's funny, because my first thought would have been that maybe it's because Asia doesn't have that dark pool room history that we have with the gambling side of things, but it sounds like gambling is what's helped the game over there, where a lot of people feel that it's hurt the game over here.
You know, I think that's wrong. I think that's just a bad misconception that a lot of people have, that gambling is what's held pool back. I don't think so. It hasn't held it back anywhere else in the world. What holds back pool in America is the fact that it has so much to compete with. It's got to get on TV against NASCAR, against the NFL, against the NBA. We've got so many sports out there for television to pick from that pool just hasn't made it in. We've got it on TV a little bit, obviously, but not like it is in the rest of the world. Any place in Japan, China, every day you can turn the TV on and see lots of pool.
Boy, that would be nice. Don't forget that all-important Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship they aired on ESPN last week and the hot dog eating contest.
That's disgusting. I can't believe anybody would watch that.
It was on when I was at the pool room, but I didn't pay much attention.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Who else was having big wins last week? Karen Kaur got a big win at the Newt Tours New Jersey State Championship, another regional tour stop that Karen attends, and another win. Good field for that one. Gerda was there. Julie Kelly was there. Kim Shaw was there. And a girl from the East Coast, Mihan Locke, she does real well on the Planet Pool Tour, but she got a second-place finish there. It was a very good finish for her.
That is good.
Let's see, the ladies were in Florida, Monica Webb, Helena Tornfeld. I'll let you guess who played in the finals in that one. Monica came through, sent Helena to the one lost side early in the tournament, and then met her again in the finals and beat her. You know, I can remember a time when those two would meet in tournaments and Helena was the favorite, but Monica has really turned her game up a notch, and she's playing great pool right now.
You know, Monica has one great advantage that I love her for, and it's her spirit. She's always a competitor. She's always just fierce on the table. She is ready to go no matter who she faces, and she's not going to let her attitude hurt her. Her attitude always helps her.
Well, I can think of a couple players on the WPBA who let their attitudes get away from them, and it's probably kept them from winning either their first or multiple titles, but that's something that they all have to fight.
Yeah, emotion is quite a problem when you're playing pro pool. Some people handle it, and some people don't.
We shift from the ladies to some players that haven't had as much experience dealing with their emotions. The BCA Junior Nationals just took place. I think the biggest surprise coming out of that tournament, at least in my eyes, was marching through the winner's side in the 16 and under division. The big showdown between Austin Murphy and Landon Shuffet, and Shuffet comes out ahead. Austin got knocked out of the tournament by Shuffet. You know, if you add on Landon's 7-2 win over former world champion Earl Strickland earlier this year at a regional event, and then Austin's got quite a few big wins out on the West Coast, I really think we're seeing the future of the game right there in those two players.
Well, they're certainly going to make up a huge part of the future of the game. I watched Landon Shuffet play down at the World Ten Ball Championship in Florida a few weeks back, and he is really coming on. I mean, he's always been strong for his age, but now he's just plain strong. And I spent some time talking to his dad, by the way, and I asked him point blank, is Landon going to continue on with his schooling, or is he going to drop out and follow the pro pool path? And he said, oh no, there's no dropout. He's going to go on through high school and then go on to college, and right now he has his heart set on becoming a pharmacist. So the boy has his head on straight, and he's definitely got his game in gear.
Well, it's definitely a shame that a player with that kind of skill can't look forward to being able to make a comfortable living doing what he enjoys doing, but it's also good that he's got a support network there that will keep him grounded. I think Austin's the same way. I know anytime I see him at a tournament, I see his dad there. And it's nice in comparison to some of the other players. 2 or 3 years ago, I went to the Junior Nationals, and there were some players there that they looked like they were fresh out of Derby City at that age. So it's nice to see parents looking after their kids and making sure that they don't go down the bad roads that you can go down in this game.
Yeah, I tell you, the young players coming up today seem to be avoiding the bad roads better than some of the players did in the past. And I'm very happy to see that.
The other ladies' regional tour event that I thought made interesting news was the NWPA tour stop on the West Coast. Kyoko Soni won that event. She had a win over Linda Carter in the finals. Let's see, you've got players like Allison and Karen, and they've got to deal with Jasmine, and they've got to deal with Chao Ting, and they've got to deal with Guy Young, and now you've got another champion over from Japan who appears to be ready to make her mark on the WPBA. It just seems like Allison and Karen are walking around with targets on their forehead right now.
It sure does, and we're going to talk to Allison about that later, but that's one of the subjects I'm really looking forward to getting her opinion on.
That should be an interesting conversation. Jerry, I understand some of the tours outside of the United States made some news this week. What's going on out there?
Well, there's news on at least two fronts. The Canadian tour, run by Jim White, has been in existence now for 2 years. And, you know, it came into being because before Canadian players, to qualify for a WPA international event, they only had one shot at it because it was determined by who won and how you came in at the Canadian National Championship. So you had one tournament to play in that would determine whether you would go to the World Pool Championships and the World Cup of Pool and that sort of thing. And Jim came up with a tour, and at first it was a six-stop tour for the first 2 years, and now he's gone out and gotten some major sponsorship so that he's going to expand it this year to an eight-stop tour. And each stop, the added money is going to be doubled. It's going to go up to $10,000.
So, wow.
He's doing a good job up there. And the Canadian players really have a complete nationwide tour now that they can play in. And it's a much, much more equitable method of determining the players to go into international events, because it's not just one event now. It's how well you do over the course of a year.
Right. Now, that used to be the Stan Janes Tour, right?
It did, and Stan James is still on as a sponsor. We have a couple of new corporate sponsors up there that are not ready to be announced yet. They will be in just a couple of days, but it's, you know, who's going to be title sponsor, who's going to be presenting sponsor. There are a few details to be worked out, so those names will come out in just a few days. And also there's a new Asian Pacific tour, which I'm excited about because it's 10 ball.
Oh, wow. Joe Tucker will love that.
Yeah, he sure will. It's going to be an eight-stop 10 ball tour, and they're going to be playing in places like Jakarta and Bangkok, Ho Chi Minh City, Manila, and possibly one in California.
Wow.
Either in San Francisco or Carson City, because our good friend Jay Helfert is in touch with the promoter, Raya Sports of Manila, and Yen Makabenta over there, who's heading this up. And they're talking about having an Asian Pacific tour stop in California. I think it's great.
That would be nice. Now, that's the area that the Guinness Tour runs in, isn't it?
That's a competing tour. That's a nine-ball tour. Well, I guess you could say it's a competing tour. It's another tour in Asia, yes.
Well, it doesn't have to be a competing tour. More prize money for the players is a good thing all around.
Yeah. So we've got action internationally now. Of course, the game is growing so well overseas that it's not really a surprise.
Well, the intriguing news that just broke recently that Charlie Williams was talking about was lining up Kia Motors as a sponsor for a big event over in Korea. That came out of left field.
That's huge. That's just huge news. An out-of-industry sponsor coming in. If Charlie can make that stick, he has really done something.
You know, the WPBA has said that they're trying to line up sponsors like that. There was another tour that had a three-initial name that we won't get into here that said they were lining up outside sponsors. But right. Sure enough, it comes down to Charlie. You know, there was a time there 4 or 5 years ago when the UPA was under Charlie, and a lot of people were complaining about some of the things that he was doing. But I tell you what, Charlie has got a good head on his shoulders, and he knows what he's doing out there and promoting these events.
Well, he does. He keeps grinding away at it. And the players have a lot of complaints about Charlie's events. But if they'll stay with him long enough for him to keep growing it, they might wind up pretty happy. Right now, in the past, the prize monies have not been what the players are fond of. But perhaps this can change now. If he can bring sponsors on like Kia, that can definitely change.
And that's what we're really looking for there. I mean, there's a lot of players that play this game real well, but there's very few of them that are able to make a living at it. So I think Charlie's doing a good job over there, and I'd love to see some of that corporate sponsorship come over to United States events.
I would, too. Now, have you got any other news that we need to cover, or shall we get to our interviews?
No, I think we're good. I'm looking forward to hearing Johnny.
Very good. We've got Johnny Archer on the line. Johnny, congratulations.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're a new dad. Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, it's wonderful.
Well, you can tell us
I
about
it. Well, the name of my little girl is Mary Lee Ann Archer.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way we got Mary Lee Ann is my mom's name was Mary. Yeah. Melanie's mom's name was Mary.
Yeah.
My mom's middle name was Lee, spelled L-E-E, and then her mom's middle name was Ann. So that's how we get Haley Ann.
I trust the mother and baby are both doing fine?
They're doing absolutely wonderful. They're doing absolutely wonderful. They're just, you know, it's just, you know, I don't understand how they can do it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was right there, and you know, we had the baby at home. You know, right in our house, and it was just absolutely wonderful. I tell you what, I wouldn't do that for $1 million.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
But what do women go through? I got a newfound respect.
Yeah, I imagine. And how's Lee doing, your son?
You know what? He's doing really good. He's we didn't really know how he would react. You know, from it, we thought he might be real jealous or, you know, something like that. But you know what? He's been great. He wants to hug on her all the time. You know, he wants to protect her. You know what? He goes and gets things for Melanie when she needs it. So he's just a wonderful little helper. He's going to be a great big brother.
You know, I imagine he would be. He just seems to have that personality where he's going to be a protective big brother.
Yes, he is. Exactly right.
Hey, Johnny, it's Mike here.
Hey, Mike.
Wanted to move in and ask you a little something. I know you began the year with 5 sponsors, and you're down to 1 now. Can you tell us who that is and what you think prompted the other companies to pull out and make that decision?
Well, you know, I can only say what I think. You know, it's you know, I don't really, I'm not in their head, so I don't really know, but you know, it's just I don't know. I mean, Scorpion, I'm still with Scorpion, who I feel like I'll be with until I decide to retire, because they're just an absolute wonderful company. They're very loyal. You know, they're you know, as long as they're not bankrupt, you know, I feel like I'll have a job, and you know, I do whatever I can to help promote and help their company the best way that I know how. So, but anyway, on another note, I think Olhausen, you know, ran into some financial troubles, because I know of a lot of big people in the company that got fired. So, you know, of course, I think that You know, and I think the head people at Olhausen, I don't know, maybe they didn't like you know, male players. I don't really know, to be honest with you, but I think a lot of them had to do with the financial situation of Olhausen. And you know, I have no hard feelings. They're a great company. They're a great company, and you know, I had a great relationship with them, and hopefully still do. The Seminole Tribe, that sponsor was predicated on the IPT. So I had a deal with them as long as the IPT was going. Well, when the IPT wasn't going anymore, you know, that deal fell through. Poker Pool Company, they kind of, you know, I don't know, it just didn't work out that good for them. I think they're, you know, I think they're going to close shop. Actually, probably, I think they already have. So, they're one kind. Then my other sponsor was Mr. Q's over in Atlanta, and I was the house pro. And since we have our own new pool room now, you know, I don't need to be the house pro over there anymore. Can't really promote their place.
That makes sense.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a minute, because I heard that bad rumor about you that you decided to go to work for a living. And what prompted that?
Well, I wouldn't say I decided to go to work. I actually brought Kim Davenport out here to work. So we moved him out here, him and his wife and dog, and he's actually the day-to-day, my day-to-day guy here. You know, there's a lot of things could be said. You know, I just think it was time. You know, I think it was just time to make a major move, you know, in my financial situation. You know, with losing all my sponsors like I did, or a lot of them, you know, I cut a big percentage out of what I was getting. And, you know, I was, you know, but the bad part about it is, you know, my bills didn't get cut out. You know, my bills still stayed at home, so I still have all my bills to have to pay. So anyway, you know, I had to make a dramatic move, you know, or sell my house or sell my cars or whatever I decided to do, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and, you know, I'm getting a little older, you know, I'm 38 now. You know, I still feel like I've got a good 10 years left anyway that I'd like to play. You know, it's just, I just think timing was, couldn't have been any better, I think, now.
Well, tell us about the room. Are you going to change the name of it to Archer and Davenport?
No, you know, everybody told us that, you know, that maybe we should use my name in it or use Kim's name or, you know, something like that. But we decided not to. We decided to go with Marietta Billiard Club. So we're changing it from the pool room to Marietta Billiard Club, sports bar and grill. So, you know, we just decided to do it that way. We have some good consultants with us that are in partners with us. Actually, Richard Sweet from the pool room I was the house pro at, you know, he's, you know, actually the, you know, one of my partners.
Okay.
So we brought some good knowledge with us. You know, he's a very, very successful room, you know, across town. And so we, by bringing his knowledge in, I think was a very good move. Woody McClure, the APA league operator here in Atlanta, of all Atlanta, he's one of our partners. So he's going to do a lot with the league situation over here. So, you know, and then Kim and I are the other partners. So yeah, we're excited. You know, it's a big outfit. We have 20,000 square feet here, so it's a big outfit, a big room, a lot of work. But you know, I think it could be very beneficial to us.
And you're in Marietta, Georgia, just off of Interstate 85 North.
No, 75.
75.
Marietta's 75 North. Yeah.
Okay. What's the name of the road that you're on there?
It's Roswell Road.
Okay.
Roswell Road is, you know,
Road.
Well, we're, if everybody knows Atlanta any at all, that we're right behind the Big Chicken right here on 41. It's a big landmark.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, can people come to your room and get, go to clinics or get lessons from you or Kim?
We are going to do seminars. We're going to do clinics. We have private lessons. Kim and I have already given a couple lessons of each. We're gonna offer a lot of services that a lot of other rooms cannot. by us being here. So, you know, the league players, if they decide to come over and play with us, we're going to do free seminars with them. We're gonna give them a lot of things if they decide to come play in our room, and we're going to have the best room in the area. It's by far going to be the best room around the area.
Well, one more question on the pool room, and then I'll leave it alone. Did you really want to open a pool room, or did you want to move your golf buddy from California closer to you?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think a little of both. You know, I think a little of both. I think the only thing is we can't play golf yet. He's working too much. He's actually in here till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, six nights a week. So anyway, that kind of hinders our golf. But I told him I'm gonna drag him out next Wednesday. So, you know, that'd be our first day playing golf together.
Okay.
Hey, Johnny, something I've been wondering about. You know, the game kind of moves in cycles. Corey's hot, and then Ralph's hot, and then Mika's hot, and then Rodney's hot. But through all of that, any tournament you enter, you're a danger to win that tournament. I mean, for 15-plus years, it's no surprise at all to see Johnny Archer's name at the top of any tournament. What do you credit that kind of longevity and success to?
Well, I don't know. I think, you know, first thing, you know, I can thank God for giving me my talent and my desire for as long as I've had it. I see a lot of other sports, a lot of the people, you know, the desire kind of leaves the older they get, you know, especially after they've done well in their respective sport. I don't know. I think the one main reason that keeps me going is that it ain't the winning. A lot of people say, oh, well, you love to win. It's not really that. It's that I just absolutely hate to lose. And losing at anything, I don't like it, especially pool, because that's what I excel at. So, you know, anytime I'm up there playing, I just don't, you know, I try to do the best I can every time I play. And, you know, I just really, I don't accept losing in my mind very good. You know, I kind of, you know, I take it hard, and, you know, I'm hard on myself. And I think that really keeps me going, you know, in the long run.
Well, kind of on that subject, I've always wondered, I'm a fan of going back and watching some of the old videos, and the 92 U.S. Open, which I'm sure just the sound of that, it probably makes you wince, but I know you were going into the finals, you're playing a guy that at the time not a lot of people knew much about, Tommy Kennedy. I mean, you had to figure that was it. You wake up that day and you think, this is my U.S. Open to win. But Tommy played real good, and he fed off the energy of the crowd, and he had a pretty dominating win. I know a lot of players would have taken that extremely hard and made a scene, but you were quiet about it. You congratulated him. You took it all in stride. But since then, you've come back. You won that title. You've won many other titles. As a player, how do you deal with a loss like that and not let it affect you and come back stronger the next time?
Well, it's funny you said that. You know, when I'm asked a lot on what match or what tournament, you know, hurt me more than any other tournament, and it was that match. If I can go back and think of one match over my career that hurt me more than any other match, it was that one. I really felt like I was playing well. I felt very confident going into that match. Nothing against Tommy. I just felt confident at the time. You know, and then to get beat 9 in a row, you know, after winning the first game, yeah, it hurt me very much. But the thing is, you know, I was very fortunate to be able to look at it as a match, that it was just another match, even though it was the U.S. Open in the final. But still, it can happen. It could have been the first round of the, you know, Atlanta Open. So it really was just another match. And, you know, he got a lot of breaks, and he played really well, you know, to beat me like he did. So it could have happened at any time. So really, you know, I was pretty fortunate to think of it. You know, of course, I didn't think of it at the time like that. So I didn't think of it like then at the time. But as I gotten older and still to this day, you know, I still think of that match, and it's still, you know, I get saddened inside when I really think of that match. But, you know, hey, it was a match. It was part of my career. And if anything, it made me stronger, because then I wanted it more, you know, once that was over. And I felt like I just had to do whatever it took to get that title.
That makes sense.
Yes, it does. Johnny, that's about all the time we have for today, but we'd like to stay in touch with you and have you as a frequent guest here on Run Out Radio.
Sure.
We want to know how things go with you in the pool room and the new baby, and please give Melanie our love and give the new one a kiss for us and give Lee a hug, and thank you very much for your time.
Sure, thank you very much, and I'd like to say, anybody that's listening, our new room is open for business. We are going to offer a lot of things for players, for league players, for just people that want to come in. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we really would, welcome anybody. You know, we're not going to cater to just one section. It's going to be to everybody. And another thing, I know there's been rumors around that I'm looking to retire, and I'm not looking to retire. I'm going to step back. I'm not going to play as much anymore. Because of my family life and the new room. But I still have a passion of playing, and I'm going to play as long as I feel like I can win. So one day I wake up and don't feel like I can win anymore and compete, then that'll probably be the day I decide to retire.
All right, Johnny. Thanks for the information. You have a good evening, and we'll be in touch shortly.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jerry and Mike. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Well, it was good to hear from Johnny there. I remember back when I had two kids, and I certainly wanted to get out and play pool as much as I possibly could, at least for the first year. So maybe Johnny will be out there winning tournaments again real soon.
Yeah, you know, I wonder how that new baby is going to help him sleep with a new pool room going. He's liable to be a little bit busy here for a couple of years.
I would think so. Just a quick reminder to everybody to check out Stroke It Wear at www.strokeitwear.com. You can also go to our website at runoutradio.com and sign up for our online notification service. We will pick one lucky winner to win a $50 gift certificate from Stroke It Wear. Listen in on our next episode to see if you are the lucky winner.
Yeah. You know, Johnny was so much fun. I'm really looking forward, though, to our next guest, Allison Fisher. She is always fun to talk to, and I believe we're about to make that connection. We've got Allison on the line.
Hi, Allison.
Hi, Mike.
Jerry's on the line.
Hello,
Jerry.
Allison. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Allison, I understand you got to take a little business break from playing WPBA events and got to go overseas. Was that enjoyable?
Yeah, I was really looking forward to it because my brother was coming over from England. So he came here and then we went off to Jamaica, which was wonderful because it was a business trip as well as a vacation. And, it opened your eyes up to see how pool is played in other parts of the world. So we had a really good time.
Where did you go after Jamaica?
No, we were in Jamaica and we did three exhibitions, one in Kingston, one in Mandeville, and one in Montego Bay. And then I just came
home. Okay, so you stayed there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty place.
Yeah, it was really nice. And, you know, the nice thing is when you do what we do as pool players, you get taken around by the locals, so you kind of see another side to it. And, you know, it's not so much as a tourist, so I really enjoyed that.
Right.
Well, Allison, that kind of leads us right into the first question we had for you. I'm curious how you and the rest of the WPBA players are reacting to the Asian invasion that we're in the middle of right now. I know the men had this happen a few years ago with the Filipino players, and now you ladies have Guy Young and Xiao Ting, and then you've got Jasmine right there ready to make her move. What's that like?
Well, I think it's really good for pool in general. I mean, I came over 12, 13 years ago, and, you know, pool was dominated by American players. There were very few overseas players. There was Gerda, Helena, Ava, and so it kind of wasn't big from the perspective of being overseas. But, you know, I think I brought something to the game, and then Karen came along, and then many more players have come along. And I just think in Asia, pool in particular is a very popular sport. It's one of their top sports, and people are encouraged to play the game over there. Unlike, you know, in some countries, maybe even in America, in the past years, you know, it's had that sort of seedy image, as we know, from many years back, you know, gambling and all sorts going on. But it's not like that now, and we can see that on TV. And it's probably never been like that in Asia, because it's, you know, it's a glamorous sport. So, and in that respect, women are being treated much better too in the game overall in the whole world. And the more they see the WPBA players on TV, the more it's going to encourage players to pick up the game worldwide. So I think TV has had an awful lot to do with it, and the fact that our TV events are broadcast all over the world. So, you know, that's part of it, and the encouragement of the players, like the fact that they're very supported. But on the from the players' point of view, I admire the fact that they're very focused in what they do. You have to understand that when players come from overseas, including myself, we're here for one job, and that's to play pool and to try and win. You know, it becomes your life. That's your life sort of thing. You're leaving your family, you're leaving your friends, and you're really setting roots down somewhere for a purpose. So it doesn't really surprise me at all that these players are coming in hungry and desperate to do well, because they're very focused, they're very dedicated to the game. And, you know, if you talk to Guy Young, if you talk to Zhao Ting, they've been playing for many years and they put in many, many hours of practice and deserve every accolade that they get. And I think that's very good for the players over here because, you know, in anything, it just gives you a kick up the backside to do better and to want to be better. And when I play pool, I just try to bring my best game all the time. You know, in the nature of nine ball, that doesn't always work. It's a tough game because there's an element of luck involved. You know, you can't always predict what's going to happen. So well, I think Yasmin, players like Yasmin, I mean, we're talking Europe as well now. I mean,
right.
I think that's it's all come from TV abroad, our TV events, and I think it's been wonderful for the game.
Well, let me steer the conversation a little bit back toward the Orient, because Mike and I were talking before we got you on the line about how huge the game is in Japan and China. And the men in Japan and China have an awful lot of tournaments over there to play. There's an awful lot of money up for grabs over there. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe there are that many tournaments overseas or in Japan and China for the women, and that's why they're coming over here. It seems to me that a lot of the events in the Orient are more beauty events than pool events.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that. We know that Dragon Promotions does a lot for really kind of the good-looking. I think they're just pushing, like you said, the sex side of it, and I'm not afraid to say that. I just... It's unfortunate.
Well, they do that in Taiwan as well.
Well, you know, when you have yeah, absolutely, I agree with that too. However, you know, when it comes to certain events, and, you know, I have little gripes over it, because there's events where we should be protected as WPBA players and go by ranking,
right,
which has happened in the past. Then you've got people who come along, promoters, who just pick who they want, and now it's a free-for-all right now. You know, if they want so-and-so or so-and-so who's ranked 50th in the rankings or 20th in the rankings, they can go ahead and do it, and I think that's wrong. Because, you know, I want to see the best pool played. I want to see pool represented well. I don't want it just to become a fashion or a beauty contest. You could just go and pick models to do that. You know, if you want people just to hold a pool cue, you want the best pool shown everywhere. You don't want people to look at it and say, well, women's pool isn't much good, but they look nice. You want the best. And so I have little gripes with that, but then if that's the sell, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's sport sometimes. I've never, ever pushed that side of it, and I've always wanted to be known as a great player rather than, you know, just a female playing pool.
Right.
But having said that, you know, in some of those countries, that's the way they do things, and you can be... You can do so much, and then it's up to your tours to represent you. But I do believe that I thought there was an Asian tour for women. I thought they had one in Taiwan, you know, which if they do, that obviously creates competitive play. It doesn't mean that there might not be a lot of money in it. And there isn't, to be frank, there's very few events over here and not a lot of money in those. Unless you're winning events, you're not making decent money.
Right.
So I think the reason that these players would be coming from abroad is purely to play good players. It's not for the financial incentives because they're not really here. They come over to America to play with the best. It doesn't mean that they're always going to be financially rewarded.
Yeah. Well, we know that pool, of course, has exploded overseas in the Orient. Do you see any of that surging popularity making its way back over here?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the WPBA, from what I've heard, are in negotiations with taking 16 players to Beijing early next year. Our negotiator for TV rights abroad is talking to various countries, and you know, a lot of countries have expressed an interest in bringing invitational events. So we're looking at a lot of the WPBA players maybe doing something in mainland China next year. Now, if that happens, you know, that's going to open up everything in the sport. You know, if China gets in and starts bringing top players over, who knows where it can go from there? You know, it would be wonderful to see a world tour, you know, like in golf and tennis, where we travel around the world and play, you know, and play with the best, play the best locals in that country, and just make it a world tour. The only reason it's been in America is because, you know, finance, really, people supporting the sport and the players willing to travel.
Have the women ever discussed the possibility of having world teams, like having a team from Europe and one from America and one from China and one from Japan to play
against
one
another? Yeah, we constantly think about things like that. I mean, I'd love to do it. It's just getting the money in to do it. And I think you could do a Moscone Cup. You could do anything. It'd be great to have team events just purely because of the standard of play now. I think it'd be very interesting.
Allison, I know I've heard comments from some of the ladies on tour that periodically after a match, you've been known to talk to them and explain a certain shot and say, well, if you had thought about playing this a different way, basically the up-and-coming players, you know, if you'd have shot this a slightly different way, you might have had a better result. I'm curious how you go about trying to offer advice to a player that you just got done trying to beat, knowing that down the road, maybe you didn't need them to have that information that you're trying to impart to them. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, firstly, I love to teach. And I think if there's something very obvious in a player's game that could make them a lot better, you know, I kind of feel the player out. I feel like if they feel like they're going to accept some information without me seeming, I don't know, critical, then I would gladly help. And if a player wants to come up and ask me something, again, I'd gladly help. You know, I'm quite open about my knowledge and stuff. So, but if something's like sticking out like a sore thumb and it's just one thing that, to correct them, or I like that person, then I'm definitely going to say something.
Well, I know that's quite a refreshing change from some of the players who would rather keep all the information they have to themselves just so that they can beat someone over and over again, but that certainly doesn't increase the level of play across the board.
No, I think it's nice for people to reach their potential. If you can see that somebody is working so hard at something and they're so dedicated and they love the game, then I think it's, you know, just a natural thing to do to help them out if you feel like they need help.
Well, speaking of instruction, do you guys have the Canadian Pool Paradise thing coming up soon?
Yes, we have that coming up at the end of August. We've been doing that now for, I think, about 12 years. So, yeah, that's coming up. That takes 16 students, and that's with Paul Potier, Mike Massey, Gerda Hofstetter, and myself. So, yeah, we have fun doing that. It's 5 days in Vancouver.
If listeners are interested in more information, where can they get that?
They can go to either poolschoolinparadise.com or to my website, alisonfisher.com, and they can get a link to that site.
You're already booked up for that this year, aren't you?
No, we're not, actually. We do have some spots available, and people generally contact Paul about that. That's kind of any email that I get referring to that, I pass on to Paul, but we do have some spots available for that.
Well, hopefully not for long.
Hopefully not for long, no. Absolutely.
I've got a sneaky question for you, Allison. This is a backdoor way of asking you who you're most concerned about. With the with the talent level that's coming over now, and I'm in particular, I'm thinking right now about Guy Young and Jasmine, but there are other names right behind them.
Yeah.
There is the possibility in 5 days, excuse me, in 5 years.
Five
days is a little short.
Yeah.
In 5 years, there might be a new name atop the leaderboard, WPBA. Do you have another gear that you can reach down and grab to prevent that?
I hope I hope there's another gear. But you see, the thing is, I think you've got to look at all the other sports, first of all, in that I've really dominated our game for quite a while, and you know there's been a lot of luck involved in that too. But we've just changed, as you know, we've been changing the rules and ways we play our events. Like now we have single elimination from the last 16. We have alternating break, so you can't get on a roll and dominate a match. And so I think that's changed the results a lot, because I think before, I think it would be very difficult to beat me twice in a tournament, somebody like Karen or myself, and now obviously that can come at the flip of a coin, you know, in the single elimination. Also, you know, TV races to 7, I think that's a farce, because the conditions are completely changed by Sunday. You've got all different lighting, the table plays very differently due to the, you know, the way the lighting is, it dries it out. So, you're walking into an arena and racing to 7. And, you know, in the past 4 days prior to that, you're racing to 9. It's, so you can get into the match a little bit more. And you've been playing in the same conditions for 4 days. So, you're very accustomed to it. The break has been a big thing, I think. I think I've lost a couple of events purely not making balls on the break, and I don't, my break isn't that weak. I think it's improved a lot. I just think that comes down to sometimes a little bit of luck and getting, you know, on the table quickly and assessing where the table's breaking well. So that's another thing. But the players coming up, they're great players. They're young, they're fearless, they're hungry, they have a lot to achieve. There's a lot ahead of them. I'm on the other hand, I've achieved everything that I want in the game, but I still love to win. I love to compete. So every title to me is a bonus and more of a challenge these days. But it does inspire me to play better and do better. So I enjoy the challenge. But I think it's not easy to hold on to a number one spot, and I don't think you'll ever see any domination of a game in the future purely from the way that the game is played now and the rules.
I was wondering if since the television broadcasts are taped, they're not sent out live, what's to prevent you, the WPBA, from playing races to 11 and just editing it down to fit into the time slot?
Well, you know what? I'm actually in the process of creating an email to the WPBA. As you know, we have new TV guys working in the background, and Winnercom, and they're doing a great job so far. They're showing a few more player interviews and getting a little bit when they do their side by side breaks and everything. I think it's very cool what they're doing. So they're willing to put in the time and effort to make better broadcasts. And with that, I talked to one of the guys there, and he said there's no reason why we can't extend the matches now because we don't have that downtime. See, in the past, the WPBA, as you know, have paid X amount of dollars, and we're paying for the ESPN productions.
Right.
And with that came, you've only got us for X amount of hours because that's what the cost is, and we have to, instead of doing all this editing, we're just going to throw in the commercial breaks. We're going to stop the players playing at certain times after every game, and then we give them a go-ahead, like they're including their commercial breaks. So now, with Winnercom, they just tape it all, so the match can be just played one game after the other without any stoppage time, which is wonderful for the players.
Right.
They've also said, as you have just mentioned, that, there's no reason why we can't extend it because we're doing post-production too. You know, the Mitch, Ava, whoever's doing the commentary, Jeanette, whoever it is, actually fly out to Tulsa now, and they do after-match commentary, on top of the broadcast. So there's actually no reason why we can't extend it, and I'm going to actually request that. I'm going to send an email to a lot of the players on the WPBA and just do a little bit of a survey, I think, and just see, well, you know, what the players want, you know, where they see it going. Pardon?
I'm sorry, this is just popping into my head. That kind of production is a lot more trouble than what ESPN was going through. So is this costing the WPBA even more than ESPN?
No, it's actually costing less because we're not having to bring people like Mitch into tournaments, for example. They go out to Tulsa and do their post-production. Actually, it's not costing us anymore. I think Winicom are doing us a bit of a favour right now. So we're not spending more money. We're actually just getting a better production.
Good.
Yeah.
That's hard to argue with. Mike, what you got?
Well, I still wonder, even with that second gear, Allison, if, perish the thought, you're knocked from the number one spot. 5 years from today, who do you think's in that spot?
Well, I don't, like I said, Mike, I didn't mention this, but we're doing new ranking system too. In the past, it was been on the last year's ranking, like your last X amount of tournaments, like 10 tournaments. Or last 12 months, and that's how the ranking has been done, and it would be sort of rolling, a rolling ranking.
Right.
And so it was, you know, I was in the number one spot for many, many years. I've been there for a long time. But now we're doing, as of the beginning of this year, to make it exciting for the media, we're doing a year-to-date ranking. So I don't know how I would fall right now. They do, firstly, the ranking of the events is based on the last six tournaments now, I think. And I do believe, from what I've heard, that in 2008 they're starting from scratch. So it'll be a tournament by tournament, you know. So-and-so could be number, like Guy Young or whatever, could be number one for January. It could be somebody else in February. It's just going to be like that.
Wow.
So it's going to be crazy. So I don't see myself holding on as number one for very long. I don't think it'll be a five-year thing, just because of the way the game is now. The way the WPBA has chosen to do their ranking system, you know, whether you agree with it or not, they choose something, and they keep trying these things for the media to try and make it more exciting. But I don't see anything more exciting than somebody like Federer or Sampras or Graf or Sorensen holding on to their rankings and winning events. I mean, I think that's great when somebody dominates the sport.
It seems to be working for men's golf.
Yeah, and we'll see how it works for women's pool, but, you know. I just think it should be based on so many events. I think that's consistency in the sport, not just, you know, a flash-in-the-pan tournament.
Right.
And the reason I'm saying that, in golf, in tennis, in these sports, you know, the best does come through. In nine ball, I mean, we know it's a bit of a coin toss. I mean, you can't say it's not. You know, if I make the nine on the break, that's a lucky game, isn't it? It's not skill. That could be a bad rack when the nine goes straight in. Or if the nine keeps travelling towards the pocket and it's just an easy combo or something. That's just luck. So with the nature of our game, I think we need a bit more of a solid base to rank players and to give points for, and, you know, just the way we run it. It's not a game that is purely skill. There's a lot of skill, but then there's also some luck. You know, in snooker,
any
it's not
chance
a lucky
we get away
at
from
all.
Nine ball and go to 10 ball?
Hey, I'm not against it. I'm sure there's all sorts of options that we can try. But, you know, you get the public accustomed to one thing, and you can't keep changing. I mean, you can mix it up a little bit, like we see promoters do. I mean, they have different types of events. I think maybe we should go to lesser players on our tour too. There's quite a few things that I think that I'm going to get down in writing and send to the board.
Well, we're certainly interested in seeing what changes are coming, and beyond that, we're expecting to see a lot more of you on TV and in the winner's circle.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, we've eaten up our time slot, so we're going to have to go. Allison, thank you very, very much, and we'd like to talk to you again very soon.
Thanks very much, Jerry.
Thanks,
bye-bye.
Allison.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, Jerry, that was pretty interesting. I didn't think I would ever see Poole enact basically the Allison Fisher rules to make it less easy or more difficult for her to win events, but that sure seems to be what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not the first time that rules have been enacted in pool to try and throw a certain player off. The nine ball breaking rules that changed when Corey Jewell came along with the soft break. You know, suddenly now you've got to move four balls past the side pocket.
Right.
That's all because of Corey. And back before him, back when the Knoxville Bear was killing everybody at nine ball, they changed the push-out rules so that he couldn't bank everybody into oblivion. So it's happened before. It'll happen again.
Well, and we'll continue to be there to follow it. Jerry, I think that's all the time we've got for this episode, but we'll be back with another episode here real soon, and we're working on guests right now.
That's great. Thanks, Mike. Look forward to seeing you next time.